Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The opening line of today's shiur will be found at the bottom of Daf Tzadi Omid Beis. The general topic that we are found in is the issue of the resurrection of the dead in the future. We found ourselves in the middle of a Tanaic source when we ended the last shiur. With that, we pick up at the bottom line, as we mentioned, Amalei Kesar the Rabban Gamliel. The Caesar, the head of the Roman Empire, addressed Rabban Gamliel and said, Amrisu deshachvi chai. You claim that there is Tchias HaMeisim, that there's a resurrection of the dead. Ho havu afro, ve'afro mi ko chai. But they turned into dust. How could dust come back to life? Amrole Barte, the daughter of the Kesar, said to Rabbi Gamliel, Shavke, you leave him be, vana mahardarno le, and I will respond to him. We notice in our markings we have a Roman numeral number 1 that's encircled. At the side of our Gemara we have a mivneh, a structural note, Chuvos Shibasa Kesar Nosno Leviho. We're going to see two versions of what the daughter said to her father. One is over here, and a few lines later you'll notice the Beir Rabbi Shmuel has a different version. In addition to that particular marking, we have another numbering system. You'll notice in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara a house form with a number 1 in it, and a few lines later a 2, and after that a 3. Under the Mivneh heading, we have the house featured. Mishalim, these are examples. Lahazbir Eich Shayach Tchias HaMeisim Mishinasu Ofar. How could it be that there is the resurrection of the dead after they turned into dust beforehand? So now we turn back to the Gemara, and the daughter of the Caesars continues speaking. Shnei Yotzrim Yesh Be'irenu. She says to her father, we have two craftsmen in our town, two potterers. Echod Yotzer Min Hamayim. One forms pottery from water. V'echod Yotzer Min Hatit. And the other forms the pottery from mud. Eze Mehen Meshubach, which is considered more praiseworthy, which is a greater feat. Omar Lo, so the father, the Kesar, says back to his daughter, Zesh Yotzer Min Hamayim, obviously, the one who is able to form pottery from water. Omrole, Min Hamayim Tzor, Min Hatit Lo Kol Shekein. If someone can form pottery from water, then one can all the more so form pottery from mud. And that's the analogy to the Tchias HaMeisim. If the Kodesh Baruch Hu could create a human being from zera, from water, from that which is liquid, which is the beginning of the birth process, as everyone is familiar. So once the human being is already formed and turned into dust, he certainly can be formed into or reformed back into a living creature. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, the Rabbi Shmuel school says that thusly she answered her father. Kal v'chomer mikli zchuchis. She used kal v'chomer reasoning from the construction or the development of glass. Ma kli zchuchis she'amolan beruach baser v'dom. The formation of glass is through human breath, what is often termed glass blowing. And through glass blowing, glass utensils are formed. Nishberu. If they break, yesh lohem takona, there is a way of repairing them. Bosav adam, she berucho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a human being, which is created through the Spirit of God, alachas kama v'kama, certainly it can be resurrected, repaired. Notice with our markings what we've done. We've underlined Kli Zechuchis, and from that we drew a Kal Vachomer to the next underlined expression, Basar Vadom, a human being. And we've also dot underlined the common denominator between the two, the word Ruach. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Le Hahu Mino the Rabbi Ami. The skeptic, Amin, said to Rabbi Ami, Amrisu de Shachvi Chai. You say that the Shachvi, the dead, come back to life. Foha Havu Afro, the Afro Mi Ko Chai. But they turned into dust. Does dust come back to life? Notice with our markings, we've dashed, underlined this expression, the Afro Mi Ko Chai. We saw this similar skepticism raised at the bottom of Tzadi Omid Beis with the same expression, which was there also dashed, underlined. Omale, Rabbi Ami, responds. And what we have here is a long answer marking, starting here with the tuf, the teretz, tuf, abbreviated for teretz, and a vertical dashed line that proceeds downwards, indicating the length of his response. So Rabbi Ami says, Em shaloch moshol, I will give you an analogy. Lema dover dem, what is this comparable to? The melech boser adam, to a human king, she'omar lavodov. He said to them, stage one, L'chu uvnu li paltarin gedolim b'moklim she'ein mayim v'afar. He instructed them to build for him a palace in a place where there is no water nor dirt. Building materials. Holchu ubonu oso. They went and were able to accomplish this feat of building the palace even in a place where there wasn't water or dirt. L'yomim naflu. After a while, it fell. Omar lahem. The king said to his servants, "Chazru uvanu oisoi b'moklim shiyesh ofar amayim." I would like you to rebuild my palaces in a place where there is building material, the ofar and the mayim, the dirt and the water. Notice we've dashed underlined at the first stage. We had she'ein, where there were no building materials, and now we've dashed underlined shiyesh. Omru lo, and the servants responded, Ein onu yecholim, we can't. Ko asalem v'omalhem, the king got angry at them and said to them, B'mokom shein mayim v'ofer bonisem. Beforehand, where the building materials were not available at the site, you were successful in building the palaces. Achshav shiesh mayim v'ofer, now that you have the building materials available, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so, it should be easy to do. The analogy, of course, being to the human being, that where there was no human being in the first place, a human being came to be. Where there is a human being, so all the more so, there is reason to believe that he can be reconstructed. V'im I ata ma'amin, and if you don't believe that the Kodesh Baruch Hu can form a creature from dirt, say Labika, go into the valleys, Ure Achbor, and notice this creature called Achbor. The Rashi points out that this kind of creature developed through means that were other than through sexual conjugation. And this Achbor creature, Shayom Chetzio Boser VeChetzio Adoma, you'll notice it today, it's part flesh and part dirt. Lamochar hishritz v'nase kulo basar. You'll notice it later on. It's that which was part dirt is now completely flesh. So we see from the development of this creature, the achbor, it's formed from dirt and turns into flesh. Same thing with the resurrection of the dead. It is in a state of dirt now, but it can become flesh. Shema tomer lizman meruba. You might say that the development of the creature is over an extended period of time. In other words, Rashi says a week, 2 weeks. Not so. Ale lahar ure. You can ascend the mountain, and you'll notice shayom ein bo elo chilozon echad. That today there's only one chilozon creature. Lemochar yerdu geshame v'nesmale kulo chilzonos. And by tomorrow there will be a rainfall, and the entire Bika will be filled with these creatures. So we see that the formation or the emerging of a creature can be almost instant. Amalei hahu mina ligvia ben psisa. Before we go on, we're going to notice a double underlining appearing a few times as we go down the daf. The Mivne note on the side has a note here, Havlotas Shmoi Shel Gvir Ben Pipsisa. What we'll be doing is emphasizing his name as he appears in different stories. So we have this Min, a skeptic, that addresses Gvir Ben Pipsisa. He was a person that had a hunchback. Vai Luchoin Chayavaya, woe unto you, you evil people, the Amrisun, that you say, Mesi Chayin, that the dead will come back to life. De Chayin Mesi, those that are alive die. De Mesi Chayin, those that are dead can come back to life. It's impossible. Amalei, so Gavia says back to him, Vai Luchon Chayavaya, woe unto you, you wicked people, the Amrisun Mesi Lochayin, that you claim that the dead do not come back to life. And what's your problem? The lo havu chai, the havi chai lo kol shekein, that which was not alive to begin with. Those that were the lo havu, those that were not, meaning those the unborn, they were not chai. They come to life. They are born. Those that were alive already certainly should be able to come back to life. Amalei, so the Min says back to him, says, Chayavaya Korisli, are you calling me wicked? E Koimna, if I stand up, Boitna Boch, I will kick you, Upashitna Laakmusech Minach, and I'll straighten out your hunchback. Amalei, so Gvia says back, Imato Sekein, if you do that, Rofe Umontikore, you'll be called an expert doctor, Uschar Harbet, he told, and you'll be able to make a lot of money. Anyone who's capable of straightening out a hunchback certainly is a highly professional doctor. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source. In this source we will be featuring Gavir ben Pipsisa again. We have some additional markings that we want to take note of. We have a bow tie marking. This is a reference to Goyim, different nations or representatives of different peoples, Shebo Batainis al Yisrael, that come with claims against the Jewish people. We are also going to have a volcano marking, two tainos, be'inyan Eretz Yisrael, regarding the possession, the ownership of, or claim to the land of Israel. So as we scan ahead in the source, just to get an overview, we're going to see B'nai Africa. These are people from the people that originated on the continent of Africa. Later we see B'nai Mitzrayim, representatives of the Egyptian people, and finally, in this source, we'll see B'nai Yishmael, B'nai Keturah. These are people that today we might refer to them as Arabs. They're the people that are descendants of Avraham Avinu. The first, we see B'nai Africa will come with a claim that the land of Israel is really theirs. The Arabs that appear later in the source also come with a claim, not claiming all of Israel, but a claim of to share Israel with the Jewish people. As we go on in the source, a number of lines are going to be repetitious. So in our explanation, we will attempt to explain the first time these lines appear, but as we read on in the source, we will be reading those lines rather quickly, not to exhaust the listener in hearing the translation each time again. The source opens up with a date. There is a work known as Megillas Tainis, which is a compendium of dates during which different events of a joyous nature took place in Israel and to the Jewish people, and they were celebrated with different aspects of celebration, whether it be the non-fasting or non-eulogizing, etc. Be'esrim v'arba'o b'Nisan, on the 24th of Nisan, there was one of these days, Isnetilu Dimosnoi miYehuda u'Mishalayim. The Dimosnoi, Rashi explains this expression. He says, Orin, those people that contested, Ba'alei Chomos, people that were argumentative, Shahoyu Roitzin Lito Chele B'Yehuda u'Mishalayim, people that came with a claim on the province of Yehuda and the city of Jerusalem. Kishibol B'nai Africa, In other words, let us just say that the opening of this particular source really is a reflection of the end of the events that we are going to learn about, so that it finally came to an end. Their claims came to an end on the 24th of Nisan. What's the background? Kishubo b'nei Africa, ladun im Yisrael lifnei Alexandrus Mokdon. The b'nei Africa, people from Africa, we'll see from the context of this source, it seems that these people were living in Israel, but that is not necessarily binding. It could be that they were representatives of the African people, and they came to Alexander the Macedonian. Omru lo, Eretz Kenan shelonu hi, the land of Israel is ours. Dichtiv Eretz Kenan ligvulosel, and that the land of Kenan, according to its borders, is the land that eventually the people of Israel, the Jewish people, entered. But Canaan, and these B'nai Africa, were claiming it as theirs. U'Canaan avuon da'ano in Shihave. Canaan was the forefather of the African people. Omar lehu gevio ben psiso l'chachamim. When they got wind of this claim against the Jewish people, so Gevio said to the Talmidei Chum, to the sages, Tenu li rishus ve'elech li'odun imayhem lifnei Alexandrus Mokdon. Give me permission to debate them, to argue against them in the presence of Alexander Macedonian. Im yinatzchuni, if they defeat me, if I'm unsuccessful, imru, then you can claim hedyo shebonu nitzachtem, a minor representative of ours you were successful in defeating. But there's more to argue about. And if I am successful, if I am victorious over them, imru lahem, then you tell them, then you can tell them, Torah Moshe nitzach techem, the Torah of Moshe defeated you. Nosnu lo rishus v'halach v'don imam. The Chachamim gave Gevio rishus, and he went and argued the Jewish case against them. Omar lahem, Gevio said to the African people, Mehechon atem avim ra'ah, from where are you drawing your proof that laying a claim on the land of Israel? Omru lo min ha-Torah, we are laying our argument based on the Torah. Omar lahan, so Gevio said to them, Af ani lo avi lochem ra'ah elo min ha-Torah, I too will bring proof from no other place other than the Torah. Shinemar, now this pasuk is going to show us that they don't really have a claim in the final picture. The pasuk says, and bear in mind, we're dealing with the descendants of Canaan. Canaan was the forefather of the African people. So the pasuk says about Canaan the following: Vayomer Arur Canaan Eved Avodim Yeh Le'echov. Cursed be Canaan; he will be a slave to his brothers. Eved Shikono Nechosim. When a slave acquires property, Eved Lemi Unechosim Lemi. The Eved belongs to whom, and his properties belong to whom? Obviously, they belong to the master. And Canaan, their forefather, was a slave to his brothers. V'lo od, elo shehare kama shonim shelo avadatunu. Not only that, but there have been many years that as a slave, you haven't even worked the land. Therefore, you have no claim whatsoever to the land, to ownership of the land. Omar lahem Alexandrus Malka. So Alexander the king said back to them, Achziru lo tshuva. So what's your response? Respond to him. Omru lo. So the Africans said, Tenu lanu zman shlosh yomim. Give us 3 days. Nosan lahem. So he gave them the time. Bodku v'lo mosu tshuva. They checked it out and they found no response. Miad borhu. They immediately ran away. V'henichu sadosean kishen zruois. And they left their fields planted, the Karmeim Kishen Utuos, and their vineyards planted, and they left their property, they just ran away. And it just so happens that that year was a sabbatical year, which is a year during which agricultural activity for Jewish people is prohibited. So they benefited by their departure as well, benefited by having all of these cultivated fields, even though it was a Shemitah year. Shuv pa'amachas bo b'nei Mitzrayim laduni Yisrael lefnei Alexandrus Mokdon. Enter the Egyptian people that tried to argue against the Jewish people in the presence of Alexander the Macedonian. Omru lo harehu omer v'ashem nosan eschein ha'om b'enei Mitzrayim v'yashilum upon the departure of the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, the Kodesh Baruch Hu enabled the Jewish people to take from the Egyptians their possessions. Tunu lonu kesef ezov shenatalta mimenu. This is the Egyptian claim. Look, when you left Mitzrayim, you took all of our possessions. Give back our gold, our silver and gold that you took from us. Omar, Gavia, Bemsisa. Now we'll see these repetitive lines that we mentioned before. So Gavia Bemsisa says, Lachachomem, Tenu li rishus ve'elech ve'adoni mohem, Lifnei Alexandrus, Im yinatzchuni, imru lohem, Hedyot shebonu nitzachtem, Ve'im ani anatzech osom, imru lohem, Teras Moshe Rabbeinu nitzachtechem, Nosu lo rishus, v'holach ve'doni mohem, Omar lohem, mehechan atem me'vin raya, Omru lo min ha'tera, Omar lahem, afani lo avi lochem raya ela min haTorah. I too will bring proof only from the Torah. Shneimar, uMoshe b'nei Yisrael sheYoshu b'Mitzrayim shloishim shana v'arba meis shana. And the Jews dwelled in Egypt and in other places 430 years. Tenu lanu schar avoda shel shishim ribo. Give us the wages of 600,000 sheshibadetem b'Mitzrayim shloishim shana v'arba meis shana. That you, the wages for the work that 600,000 people did to you over a course of 430 years. Now that's a vast amount of money. Omar lahen Alexandrus Mokdon, hachziru lo tshuva. Omru lo tenu lanu zman shlosha yomim. Lo san lahem zman, bodku v'lo motsu tshuva. They checked out and found no response. Miyad hinichu sadasen kishen zeros v'karmen kishen etuos uborchu. V'oysa shana shviyas oysa. V'shuv. Pam achas bo b'nei Yishmael u'b'nei Keturah ladun im Yisrael lefnei Alexandrus Mokdon. Amru lo, Eretz Kenan she'lonu v'shelochem. Notice here, the claim is a little different than we saw the first Eretz Kenan claim, and you can easily see this by looking at the dashed underline. Originally, we had she'lonu hi, where the Africans claimed it was all theirs, and here the b'nei Yishmael are saying it's ours together with you to share. Dichtiv. And their claim is based on the pasuk V'ele toldos Yishmael ben Avraham, uksiv V'ele toldos Yitzchok ben Avraham. Avraham had two sons. Omar lohen gevia ben Psiso lachachomim tenu li rishus V'ele v'adoni moim lifnei Alexandrus Mokdon im yinatzchuni imru hedyot shebonu nitzachtem v'im ani anatzech osam imru lohem teras Moshe Rabbeinu nitzachtechem nosnu lo rishus holach v'adoni moim omar lohem mehechan atem mevim raya. Amru lo min haTorah. Amar lahem afani lo avi raya elo min haTorah. Shneimar. So Gevia says, I too will bring proof from the Torah that you have no claim on even part of Eretz Yisrael. What does the pasuk say? Vayitein Avram es kol asher lo li Yitzchok ulivnei hapilagshim asher Avram nosan Avram matonos. The pasuk says that Avram gave everything that he had to Yitzchok, and as far as the offspring of the other wives, the pilagshim, the concubines, the other sons, the other children he gave them matonos, he gave them gifts. Av shenosan agdin levonov b'chayov, v'shiger ze me'al ze, a father that gives agdin, Rashi says, k'sovim shelo yitol echod b'chelik chavero, documents that say that one shall not take a portion that is given to someone else. Kmo shosav Avram liYishmael shelolito b'mesh shenosan liYitzchok klum, that he Yishmael will have no rights to anything that was given to Yitzchok. Klum yesh loze alze klum. That's the end of the particular source. The Baraisa also that when this when a father gives this document to a son, to one of his children, saying you have no claim on what I gave to the other son, and after giving everything to Yitzhak, that shows that the Bnei HaPilakshim don't get anything of that which Yitzhak received. The Gemara now asks, what does it mean that Avram gave through the Bnei HaPilagshim Matonos. My Matonos, what are these gifts? Omar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Malamed, this tells us, Shemoser lehem Shem Tuma. Rashi says about Shem Tuma, Kishuf Umaisa Shedim, that he gave them the knowledge of black magic and different spells that one casts using demons. Amar Lei Antoninus the Rebbe. Before we go further in the Gemara itself, let us take note of the topic heading that we have written at the side. Im guf uneshama yecholim liftor es atzmo en min hadin. Can the body and the soul spare themselves? I argue for their innocence up on the day of judgment. We're also going to be seeing a triangle with a colored in tip. This is explained in the Mivneh section, heading, the structural note, Mifgashim Bein Antoninus V'Rebbe. We'll see encounters between Rebbe Yehuda Anossi, the leader of the Jewish people, and the Roman Emperor Antony. Amar Lei, and before we go on, maybe it's just be worth taking a look by scanning ahead. You'll notice this is labeled as triangle number one, this to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice as you flip the page over or scroll ahead to Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis, you'll notice 2, 3, and 4 as you go down the narrow section of the Gemara. And of course, in the middle of the text, you'll see the triangles with the colored in tips. So the Gemara continues. Omar Lei Antoninus the Rebbe Guf and Neshama Yecholim Liftor Atzmon Min Hadin Ketzad. Anthony claims that the body and the soul, each one respectively, will be able to spare itself and free itself from judgment on the day of judgment. And how is that going to be done? Ketzad Guf Omer, the body can say as follows: Neshama Chotas. The soul is responsible for the sinning. Shemiyom shepirsho mimeni, the day that the neshama departed from me, hareini muto ke'even doimein bekever. I'm just like an inanimate stone in the grave. In other words, as a body per se, I don't do anything wrong. As you can see, I just lie in the grave. Uneshama oimeres, the neshama says, guf chata, the one responsible for the sin, for sinning, is the body. Shiyom shepirashti mimenu, from the day that I departed the body, hareini parachas ba'avir kesipor, I flutter in the air like a bird, and I'm not engaged in any sinning. Omar Lei, so Rebbe responds. And before we go further, let's just take a note of one of our other markings. We have a long answer marking. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a tuf is encircled with a vertical dashed line, which continues down the upper part of Tzadi Aleph on the base, indicating the length of his response. So, Omar Lei, Emshol Lecho, Moshol, I will give you an analogy. Lemahadav Erdema, to what is this comparable? Lemelech Basar Vadam, Shelo Pardes Noe, a human king that had an orchard, a pleasant orchard, Vehoya Boi, and in this orchard were Bechoros Noos. Bechoros Noos are new, beautiful figs. Vehoshiv Boi Shnei Shomrim, and the owner of this orchard, in this case this was a Melech Basar Adam, he placed two guards on this orchard. Echot Chiger veEchot Suma. One was lame and one was blind. Amar lo Chiger leSuma. The lame individual says to the blind man, Bechoros Nos Ani Roya Bepardes, I see beautiful new figs. Bo veHarkiveni Unaviyam Lochlam. Come, place me on your shoulders, and we will go and bring in some of these figs to eat. Rochav Chiger, the lame sighted individual, got on Al Gabi Suma, got on the shoulders of the blind man, Vehevium Viochlum, and they brought back these figs and ate them. Liam and Bobala Pardes, Omar Lohen, the owner of the parties came and said to them, "Bechoros knows, hey Chonein, where are my beautiful, fresh, new figs?" Omar lo chiger. The chiger says to the owner, "Klum yesh li raglayim lochman. If you can't suspect me, do I have feet with which to go? I'm lame." Omar lo suma. And the blind man says, "You're going to suspect me? Klum yesh li einayim liros. Do I have eyes to see?" Ma also. So what did the owner do? Hirkiv chigir al gabi suma. He placed the lame man on the shoulders of the blind man. V'don oisam keechod, and judged them as a single unit. Af Hakadosh Baruch Hu mevi neshama v'zorka baguf. so too the Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring the spirit, the neshama, the soul, and insert it back into the body, the don oisam ke'achod, and judge them as a single unit. Shenemar yikro el hashamayim me'al, the el ha'oretz lodin amoy. The Gemara explains, yikro el hashamayim me'al, he'll call out to the heavens, zu neshama, that's a summoning of the soul. The el ha'oretz lodin imo, lodin amo, and calling to the land for judgment, ze haguf, that's a reference to the summoning of the body. Omale Antoninus the Rebbe, Mipnei ma chamo yoitzo b'mizroch v'shotas b'marov. Why is it that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west? Omale, so Rebbe answered, I ave ibcho nami hochi have amrsli. And if it was the opposite, if the sun rose in the west and set in the east, you would ask me the same question. Omale, Antoninus says back, Hochi ko aminoloch. Thusly I meant to say, and he now clarifies what his question was. Mipnei ma sheikas b'marov. Why is it that the sun, which rises in the east, why is it that it sets in the west? The normal practice of a shaliach, of an emissary, would be that he returns to the place from which he emanated. So too, it would seem more reasonable, says Antoninus, that the sun that rises in the east would circle the heavens and eventually and set in the east. Omale, so Rebbe answers, the significance of the west is kedei litein sholom lakoine, to give a greetings to the Creator. The idea being that the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is located in the west. Shenemar utzvo hashomayim l'cho mishtachavim, the hosts of the heavens, the different forces of the heavens, including the sun, l'cho, to you bow down. Omale, so Antoninus continues asking, v'teisi ad palga derikia, why is it not that the sun rises? Why shouldn't it merely rise from the east till mid heaven, till half the halfway mark, and the titein shama v'teil, and give its greetings there and bow, so to speak, at that point, and then set. The reasoning behind this is that the derech of people, when they bow to a king, they don't bow where he is, they don't bow in his face, they don't bow exactly where he is, they bow at a distance. So if you tell me that the Shekhinah is in the west, so let the sun rise from the east toward the west, the westerly direction, but not end up in the extreme west, go reach midpoint of the sky and set right there. The answer to that is, Rebbe says, Mishum Poyalim Umishum Oivrei Drachim. If the sun would set suddenly in midday, workers wouldn't know that the end of their workday arrived, and travelers wouldn't know to get ready for accommodations. The Rashi explains this as well. Mishum Poelim. Rashi, as we've noted on earlier occasions in this parak, you'll find him in both columns. Here is in the outside column. Rashi says Mishum Poelim. We have a diamond around the word Poelim, and later on you'll see Oivrei Drachim also in a diamond. The ilu kain, if it were to set at midday, hoya machshich pisom, darkness would fall immediately. When the sun is in the middle of the sky, it's that is its greatest time of light production. People at midday think that there's a lot of time left. And workers would stay. They stay in their work until darkness. So you'd have a situation that it's very light, and then all of a sudden darkness would come about, and that would be wouldn't give notice to the workers to complete their activity. The Oivrei Drachim, Nami, the travelers, Lo Hoyo Yoide Mosai Yachshoch Levakesh Lahem Beislina. They wouldn't know when darkness is approaching in order for them to arrange for their sleeping accommodations. Lekach Shokas Bimarov Shekshole. Then therefore it sets in the west. Sheksholeches Umishapeles, as it continues in its orbit and gets lower on the horizon, it goes and the light level decreases, Yodin Shemagia Shas Chashecha. People would know that darkness is approaching. Turning back to the Gemara, the Omale Antoninus the Rebbe. Nishama me'emosai nidna ba'adam. Notice with our markings, we've dashed, underlined Antoninus' questions, just like we saw before about b'nei chama yoitzis b'mizrav shoyos b'marav. Here we have nishama me'emosai nidna ba'adam, and later on we'll have another question which is it's dashed, underlined for your convenience. So this question is nishama, the soul. Me'emosai nidna ba'adam, from what point is it inserted into the human being? Is it mishas p'kida oi mishas yitzira? Shas Pekida is defined by Rashi, and let us learn the Rashi inside. Rashi in the outside margin, outside column, says Pekida, Mishal Shehamaloch Poiket HaTipa, from the time that the angel takes the drop, that the droplet that is going to eventually form into the human being, he takes that droplet, Umavil Lifnei HaMokom, and presents it to the Almighty, Ma tehe olea, and decide what its future will be. Is it at that point that the malach takes the droplet to the Kodesh Baruch that the neshama is inserted, or the second possibility back in the Gemara, oi mishas yitzira, from the point of yitzira. The point of yitzira is when the organism actually starts to form. Omale, so Rebbe answers, Mishas Yitzira. He says, from the point that the organism starts forming, that's when the neshama enters. Omale, so Antoninus responds, he says, Efshir Chaticha Shel Basar. Is it possible for a piece of meat, Oimedes, Shloisha Yomim Belo Melach, V'eino Masrachas, that it can stand around for 3 days without salt, which is a preservative, and not go bad? What's the point he's making? How does that tie into what Rebbe said about Shas Yitzira? So Rashi explains where you notice the star, it says, V'omalo Antoninus, V'chi efshe l'chaticha shetizkayim, afilu shloisha yomim below melach, she'eno masrachas, v'hochinami. Is it possible, he says, that a piece of meat can last for 3 days without preservatives and not go bad? V'hochinami, so too in our case, ilu lohoisa neshama nesuna ad shas yitzira. If it were so that the neshama enters only at the point that the organism starts to form, for the sake of accuracy, Rashi says mishas yitzira shenikram kulo bebasar v'ginim atzamos, where it's not just starting to form, but it's completely formed. Shas yitzira would be a later stage of development. So Antoninus says, how could something be without a preservative? How could the meat be without a preservative? The preservative being the neshama, the soul. How can the organism be forming so long until its completion without the preservative? And we continue in the Rashi, V'ochinami, ilu lo hoiso neshama nesuna ad shas yitzira. If it were so that the soul was not inserted into the body, until that late stage, the Shas Yitzira stage, Hech Tiskayim HaTipo, how can the droplet last, Shelo Tasrich B'me'el, that wouldn't go bad in the mother's womb, the Kevan Shetipo Masrachas Shuv Eino Moledes, once the original drop that forms the human being goes bad, it wouldn't be able to develop again. So as we turn back to the Gemara, we read, Elo Mishas Pekida. So it must be concluded that the neshama is inserted at that early stage when the drop is merely at a drop, it's a droplet stage, and only it is at that early point that the neshama is inserted. Omar Rebbe, Dover Ze Limdani Antoninus. This issue, I was taught by Antoninus. And what we've done it with our markings, we've double underlined Rebbe's acknowledgement to that which he learned from Antoninus. We have it over here, and we'll see later a similar event. Rebbe continues saying that this was taught to me by Antoninus, Umikra Messiah, and in fact a Pasuk supports him. Shinemar Ufku Dosecha Shamra Ruchi. Rashi says, Ufku Dosecha Shamra Ruchi, Mishas Pekida. The word Ufku Dosecha is associated with Pekida, Nishmar Ruchi. My spirit was already preserved. Continuing in the Gemara, V'amarle Antoninus the Rebbe, Mei Masai Yetzahara Sholeit Ba'adam. From what point does the evil inclination have rule over the human being? Mishas Yitzira or Mishas Yitzia? Is it from the point of its being formed or the point of its exit into the world? Amarle, so Rebbe says, Mishas Yitzira. The Yetzahara enters even while the baby is still inside its mother, but at the point that it's formed. Amarle, Antonina says back, Im Kain, if that's so, that the Yetzahara is contained in the person at such an early stage, bo'et b'me'im aviyotze, it would kick and while it's in its mother and leave, what might be termed a miscarriage. Omar le, so ella mishas yitzia. Rather, you'll have to say that the Yetzirah enters only at the point that it exits the mother. In other words, kol zman, as long as the fetus is inside the mother, there is no Yetzirah. The Yetzirah enters at the point that the baby emerges into the world. Omar Rebbe, Dovar Zeh, Limdani, Antoninus. This point was taught to me by Antony. Umikra Messiah. In fact, a pasuk supports him. Shenema, lefesach chatos roveitz. At the doorway, the entrance into this world, Chatos Sin is there. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, the house form, and we glance at the side and we see the Nosei Mivne heading. We have a combined a topic heading with structural note. These house forms, and you can scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll see a few of them. Ha loas stiros v'yishuvam, the raising of contradictions and their resolutions, v'psukim she'inyonam he'osid, that concerning psukim that deal with a future time. So let's see the different stiros, the different contradictions, and how they are resolved. Reish Lakish Rami, Reish Lakish raises a contradiction. Ksiv, one pasuk says, bom iver upiseach hara violetes yachdov. This is a reference to a future time, time of resurrection, and it sounds that at that point, iver upiseach, those are the blind and the lame, will come forth. It sounds like they come forth, the resurrection, with their imperfections. Uksiv, there's another pasuk that says, oz yedaleg ko'ayol piseach, v'soron v'shon ilayim, ki nifku b'midbor mayim unecholim v'arava. This pasuk says that there will... That the pisech will be medale kayo, meaning the lame individual will be able to skip around, dance around like this, like the ayol creature, and taron lishon elaim, the mute person will be able to sing. Now, from that pasuk, it sounds that they will be healed. So, how do you resolve the first pasuk, which indicates that they will be with their imperfections, and this pasuk indicating healing? Ha ketzad, how do you resolve that? Answer. Their initial resurrection is with their imperfections, those imperfections they had at the point they died. Ooh, misrapin, and then they get better. Ula Rami. Ula raises an inconsistency. Ksiv, Bila Hamovis Lenetzach, Umocha Shem Dimo Me'al Kol Ponim. The expression Bila Hamovis means that death will cease to be. There will be no more death. Uksiv, there's another pasuk that says, Ki Hanar Ben Me'a Shana Yomus, Ki lo ye misham oid u yomim. This second pasuk indicates that people will die at the age of 100. The Rashi in the inside margin, the second arrow line, says ki hanar klomar kishiyomus odom leosid. When a person dies in the future, umes ben me'a shana, he dies at the age of 100. Yomru, people will say, narhu, young man he was. Narhu meis, ki hanar ben me'a shana yomus, alma meisin. The main thing for us is we see that in this future time, there will be death. And hence, with our markings, we've dashed underlined bila hamovis, which indicated no death, and this expression yomus indicating yes. Lo kashya, the Gemara says that we can resolve that. Kan, be Israel. When you're dealing with the Jewish people, they will no longer experience death. Kan be'oivdei kechavim. The pasuk indicating death at 100 years, that is a reference to idol worshippers. So the Gemara asks, be'oivdei kechavim mai bo hasim, what are idol worshippers going to be, what are they doing around at the time of resurrection? It doesn't seem that they are worthy of resurrection. The Gemara answers, hanoch dechtiv behu, the pasuk is referring to those Oivdei Kochavim, concerning whom it says, V'omdu zorim v'ra'u tzonchem uvnei nechor ikorechem v'kormechem. That in the future, these Ovdei Kochavim will be serving the Jews. So those that are serving them, they also will experience being around in the presence at the time of resurrection, and those people will die at the age of 100. They are serving the Jews as grazing their flocks and cultivating their agricultural enterprises. Rav Chisda Rami, Ksiv v'chofro halavona uvoisho hachamo ki molach Hashem tzvokais. This pasuk, for our purposes, is mashma that their light will be dulled. Uksiv v'hoya or halavona k'or hachamo. And another pasuk says regarding the future that the sun, the light of the moon, will be like the light of the sun. V'or hachamo yeh shivasayim k'or shivasayomim. And the light of the sun will be like the light of the time of creation. Something very, very intense. So how do you resolve these two psukim? So we have a number one over here. This will be the first of two resolutions. So number one, lo kashya, kan limois hamashiach, kan l'olam haba. The pasuk that indicates that the or halavona will be like the or hachamo, that there will be a tremendous increase in light level, that's a reference to the days of the Moshiach, when the Moshiach comes. Kan l'olam haba. There's another stage in the future, called Olam Haba, which is not to be confused with Yemois HaMashiach in this context. At Olam Haba, the light of the sun and the moon will be viewed as non-existent because of the great glow cast by the righteous. Uli Shmuel Domer Ein Bein Olam Hazeh LeYemois HaMashiach Ela Shibud Golios Bufat. And according to Shmuel, that says that the Yemois HaMashiach is not going to be any different than current society, with the exception of Shibud Golios, which means to whom we are enslaved or servile. In other words, that during the Golos, the Jewish people are servile and subsidiary to other nation forces. In the Yemos HaMashiach, the Jewish people will be an independent nation, not bound by any other peoples and desires of other governments. So, according to Shmuel, that Yemos HaMashiach is going to be like a contemporary society in terms of other physicalities. What is the resolution of these two psukim? The one pasuk indicating very intense light, and the other pasuk indicating dulled. Lo kashya, kan b'machne tzadikim, kan b'machne shchina. In the camp of the tzadikim, it's pointed out by Rashi that both of these psukim are referring to the Olam Haba period of time, not to the Yemos HaMashiach, but in the Olam Haba period of time, in the camp of the tzadikim, you'll have the intense light. In the camp of the Shechina, the place of divine presence, so because of the incredible light cast by the divine presence, these other light sources will be dulled. Rava Rami. Rava also raises an inconsistency. Ksiv ani omi svachaye, uksiv mochatzti vani erpa. One posuk, the first posuk says, I kill, and I bring back to life. The continuation of the posuk says, I beat, I injured, and I heal. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer, the resolution is, ma shani meimis, ani mechaye. That which I killed, I will bring back to life. V'hodar ma shemochatzti vani erpa, and after that which I injured, I will heal. The Rashi says, "Ksiv ani omis v'achaye demashma k'shem shani omis es ha'odom kach ani mechayehu k'shemes ba'amum." Omeid v'chai ba'amum, that just like I killed a person, I will bring him back to life. And it indicates that if he died as a ba'amum, he will come back to life as a ba'amum, as with his imperfection. Uksiv mochatzi vani erpa shekeshehu mechaye merape es hamachatz v'omeid sholem. The other pasuk indicates that when he brings back to life, he heals. So that would have appeared to be a contradiction. The answer is explained also by Rashi. V'hodar mashi mochatzti shela'achar kein misrape. Uchleel oyim de b'mumon u'misrapin. So let's go over this last point. In fact, it serves as a review of that which was said earlier. The first pasuk, which said ani omis v'chayeh, indicated that those who I kill, who I cause to die, I will bring back to life. However they were killed, if they were killed with their imperfection, they will come back to life with their imperfection. The second pasuk indicates that there will be a healing of the imperfection. The answer to that is that, in fact, the first stage is that whoever died will be brought back to life with their imperfection, and after they come back to life with their imperfection, I will then heal them. Tanu Rabbanan. And we have a Tanaic source which continues with the spirit of proving Tchias HaMesim. And that we can see through the markings. We have a diamond here, and also a number 7 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with an indication that this is a Hemshech from Tzadi Omid Beis. Continuation from there. Tanu Rabbanan, Ani Omis V'chayeh, I kill and I bring back to life. Yochol shetei miso ve'echod v'chayim ve'echod kederach she'olam noeg. Is it possible that this pasuk is not a reference to anything other than God saying, I kill people and I bring to life other people as is normal in current life, where there are those that are born and others that die? Is that the meaning of this pasuk? Talmud lomar, mochatzti v'ani erpo. I injured and I heal. It's the continuation of this very same pasuk. And with the second half of the pasuk, we can now understand the first half. Ma mechitza urafua be'echot, just like healing comes about only where there was an injury. So just like injury and healing is in one individual, af misa v'chayim be'echot, so too the death and the life that's referred to in this pasuk is within the same individual. In other words, a reference to resurrection. Mikan Shuva. From here, we see a response. La Omrin Ein Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. To those that claim that the Torah makes no reference to the resurrection of the dead, from this pasuk we see that there is. Tanya Omar Rebbe Meir Minayin Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. Notice again the diamond, an eighth proof to the resurrection from the resurrection of the dead, as alluded to by the Torah. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Oz Yashir in the future. The word Yashir, he will sing in the future tense. Oz Yashir Moshe Bnei Israel Es Hashira Zos Lashem. Shor Lo Nemar doesn't use the term Shor, the verb form Shor, which would indicate past tense. Ela Yashir, future tense. So what does it mean that in the future Moshe will say praise? Mikan L'Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah. Kayotze Badavar. Similarly, Ata Omer, you can say, Oz Yivneh Yoshua Mizbeach Lashem. Bono Lo Ne'emar. It doesn't say here that Yoshua built in the past tense. Elo Yivneh, he will build an altar to Hashem. Mikan L'Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah. A question is now raised. Elo Me'ato Oz Yivneh Shlomo Bomo L'chmoish Shikutz Moyov. Hachi Nami Di Yivneh. This pasuk says, and then Shlomo will build an altar to Kamosh, is the name of an idol. Are you going to say that this is also a future pasuk, that Shlomo in the future will build an idol, build an altar to this idol? So, as far as this particular pasuk is concerned, the Gemara answers, Ela malo of Hakosov ki lubana. Because of certain decisions that Shlomo made in his international relations, he never actually built an altar. But the way he dealt with with his international affairs and the different women that he courted, the pasuk says it's as if he built. It's simply an analogy, a mushal, but it's not as if he actually built an altar to an idol. That's as far as the Shlomo HaMelech pasuk. But as far as the other psukim, the Oz Yashir and the Oz Yivneh Yoshua, that the Brisa tells us are proofs to Tchias HaMesim, as found or as referenced to by the Torah. Amar Yeshua ben Levi. What we have is a structural note that accompanies this piece of Gemara. We have a bow tie form. This emphasizes Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's name, his comments, and we have some triangles that will be appearing a little bit later on the daf, which feature Kol HaMoneh HaLocha Mipi Talmid, and Kol Hamalame Torah, different comments about Torah teaching, one who withholds Torah from students, or and concerning other comments about teaching Torah over to others. So as we begin this section, Om Rabbi Shuvan Levi, Minayin L'Tchias HaMeisim Min HaTorah, from where do we have proof from the Torah that there's Tchias and there's resurrection? Shenemar, Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha, Oid Yehalulucha Sela. The word Yehalulucha is dashed, underlined, for emphasis, as we see now. Hilalucha lo nemar. It doesn't say those that praised you in the past tense. About Yehalulucha. They will praise you, using the future tense. Mikan L'Tchias HaMeisim Min HaTorah. That those people that that died will in the future come back and sing praise to you. The Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Kol ha'omer shira b'olam hazeh, anyone who sings praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, zeche v'omro li'olam haba, will merit saying praise in the future. Shenemar, Ashrei yoshvei beisecha, oid yehalucha sa, they will continue in the future to sing your praises. Amar b'chia bar Abba, Amar b'yochan, we've dot underlined his name in order to show that he will be appearing again. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan says, "Minayin l'tchias ha'meisim min haTorah?" Shneamar, "Kol sofayach nosu kol yachdov yiranenu." Rinenu lo nemar. Doesn't use the word rino, which is the idea of singing praise in the past tense, or yiranenu, which is a future tense. Mikan l'tchias ha'meisim min haTorah. The Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan, "Asidim kol ha'neviim kulon." Omrim Shira b'kol echad. In the future, all the prophets will sing a uniform praise to God. Shnema kol sofayach. The sofayach is a reference to those that are prophets. Nosu kol yachdov yiranenu. They will use a kol yachdov, a together voice, meaning a uniform voice of praise. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Kol hamoneh halacha mipi talmid, anyone who withholds a halacha, the Torah rulings from his students, kilu goizloi minachas avosov, it's as if he's stealing from the student the inheritance that he has coming to him from his forefathers. In other words, we'll see momentarily that the Torah that is due to the student is something that is owed to him. Shinemar, Torah tzivo lonu Moshe moirosha kilas yankov. Torah was commanded to us by Moshe. It is a morosha. That means it's an inheritance. It's a heritage. Morosha, he, the whole Yisrael, misheshes yemei breishis, from the six days of creation. And in fact, the world was created on the premise that the Jewish people would receive the Torah and accept it. Omar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Omar Rav Shimon Chasida, kol amanei halacha mipi Talmud, afilu ubrin shebemei imo mekalin oso, one who withholds Torah from his student, even the unborn, the fetuses in their mother's wombs, curse him. Shenemar monea bar yikavu leum. And this pasuk will be explained as referring to this idea that the ubrin curse. Amir Hashem, in our next year, we will go over this point, showing how this pasuk Monea Bar proves his point. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.